Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, INC, and we are a church beyond walls. First of all, I want to take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., and at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord this evening. Amen. So, in the meantime, I want to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. So at this time, we will invite the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
to be overcome.
Amen. Father God, we just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And we pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of its gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will be bringing the word from the Lord this evening. Amen. To God be the glory. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Praise God. At this time, I will play another selection. And I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music while we are waiting.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all. This is simple. We're going to have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God is sustaining me.
Don't you know God?
And no, I
harvest grace. Jesus paid the price, covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see,
is
he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel him all over me. Yes.
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus,
you gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My Lord.
Thank you.
into nothing, and all creation heard. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand. I am the one whose name is a tower where you can run and hide. I am he who has all power in my hand. And if you believe on my word, you can stand.
God speaks to Sarah at 90 years old and tells her she's about to give birth to a baby. She laughs. But God responds and says, is anything too hard for me? And some of y'all have situations that look like they can't be fixed. But you have to understand that when I am is in the picture, anything is possible. I need you to look at somebody and say, anything is possible. So God says, no matter what it looks like, God says, you're overwhelmed.
I am.
Oh,
I am.
Yes, sir.
God says,
I am.
I got a headache right now, but
I am.
My body's racking with pain, but I am. Somebody say, God says,
I am.
Let me be who
I am.
I don't understand how I'm gonna get out of it, but
I am.
Hey, yeah.
I am.
Somebody say, I am.
I am.
Talk to somebody and say, God says, God says,
I am.
Somebody needs to know that God says,
I am.
I am.
I am.
One more time, y'all. Tell them who he is. He says,
I am.
I know the numbers are bigger than you, but
I am.
He can bring you out no matter what it looks like. I am.
I am.
One more time, say, God says,
I am.
Just lean on him because
I am.
You can live here.
I am.
You're listening to
a plethora of life's enigmas have incapacitated your people. Lord, we cry for the power that comes from being in your presence to resuscitate us so that we may live. Lord, we proclaim you now. Your awesome majesty. Hallelujah. Lord, come upon us now. Yes, Lord. And release your power. We need your power. And let your presence, fall. Hallelujah. Come on, voices of Citadel. I need you to harmonize tonight. And let's talk to the Lord. Lord, we proclaim your name. Lord, come upon us now. Hallelujah.
your presence. Let your presence fall. There's healing in your presence. There's peace in your presence. Everybody standing all over the building with your hands raised and your mouth open. Let's cry out to the Lord tonight. Come on. Say, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on. Calling for worshiping people. He's calling for worshiping people. We worship him for who he is. We praise him for what he's done. Come on, worship him. He is the God that brought you out.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Hilda, and you're listening to Pray One for Another, 626-213-5681, and call in your prayer request, for my God is truly able.
Savior, he reigns forever.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, I Love You. Praise be to God. Tonight, this message is, scripture reading for this message is coming from Jeremiah 31 and 3. And it says, the Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Amen. Praise God. My second scripture reading for this message is coming from Lamentation chapter 3, verses 22 through 26. And it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, I Love You with an Everlasting Love, flows out from the depths of eternity. Before you were born, I knew you. Pondered the awesome mysteries of a love that encompasses you from before birth to beyond the grave. Modern man has lost the perspective of eternity to distract himself from the gaping jaws of death. He engages in ceaseless activities and amusement. The practice of being still in my presence is almost a lost art. Yet, it is this very stillness that enables you to experience my eternal love. You need the certainty of my loving presence in order to weather the storms of life. During times of severe testing, even the best theology can fail you if it isn't accompanied by experimental knowledge of me. The ultimate protection against sinking during life storms is devoting time to develop your friendship with me. Praise be to God. And this was God speaking. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it was unto me. Lord, give me the wisdom to be a good listener. Help me listen carefully to my family, to my friends, and most importantly, to you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. And again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God. Normally, we would have our Bible study class this evening, but unfortunately our speaker could not be with us. So I will be bringing the word from the Lord this evening. Praise be to God. And you can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage my choir in their farewell concert and recording, the Tri-City Singers. Put your hands together. Come on, choir. Let's encourage them out there. Let's tell them that the blessing of Abraham is on their life. Oh, my brothers and sisters, because you are in Christ, you are Abraham's heir, and you have an inheritance on your life. You're the heir to the promise God made to Abraham. Go get your inheritance. Anybody gonna go get it out there? Go, y'all.
Yeah.
somebody to hop up and say, I'm going to get mine.
Dear Lord, your love is eternal and your laws are everlasting. When I obey your commandments, I am blessed. Today, I invite you to reign over every corner of my heart. I will have faith in you. Father, I will sense your presence. I will accept your love. I will trust your will, and I will praise you for the Savior of my life. In your Son Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
The heart of his spirit.
Amen. Praise be to God. Lord, make me a woman of wisdom and discernment. I seek wisdom. Praise God. I seek wisdom. All right. Praise be to God. Again, Lord, make me a woman of this of wisdom and discernment. I seek wisdom, Lord, not as the world gives, but as you give. Lead me in your ways and teach me from your word, so that in time my wisdom might glorify your kingdom and your son. I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And at this time, I will play another selection. And after this selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope you enjoy this selection by the Wiki Tones, the Spirit of Victory. Praise God. Amen. Praise be to God. Okay. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Amen. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can read from any Bible that you have, King James, New King James, NIV. The word is just that the wording is different, but it means the same. Okay. So this chapter is talking about where Mark is talking about the preparation and the birth and preparation of Jesus, the servant. And Mark, which is the shortest of the four Gospels, opens with Jesus' baptism and temptation. And moving right into action, Mark quickly prepares us for Christ's ministry. The Gospel of Mark is coincide. Straightforward and chronological. So here we go. Mark 1, verses 1 through 8. And this is where John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. Amen. So this is the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, I come this evening to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for all that you have done and all that you're doing. To thank you for life, for strength, health, wisdom, understanding. Thank you for this Pray One for Another. Thank you for the House of the Lord online ministry. Thank you for House of Manessa Christian Ministries. Thank you for the fivefold who participate in each and every one of these churches. Amen. Bless them. Guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. And thank you for our pastor and First Lady. Bless them and guide them in the way that you would also have them to go, that they will, that you will plant in their hearts and minds to bring forth what thus says the Lord, to feed the sheep. We are now in the season of your, good and ready to go into the season of your birth, Lord God. And we are asking you to give us all discernments and to teach us what is right from wrong and to guide us in this way that you would have us to go. Lord God, let your will be done in our lives, not our will, but your will be done. We ask that you go down by the hospitals and nursing homes, prison cells, juvenile halls, Lord God. Somebody there needs you, Lord God. Somebody's calling your name, Lord God. Someone needs a healing. Someone needs a touch, Lord God. Touch them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, Lord God. Let your will be done in their lives, Lord God. Touch our president and his family, our vice president and her family, Lord God. Touch all of those in authority that they will do the right thing and that they will make right decisions for the people and for the country, Lord God. Bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God, and guide them in the way that you would have them to go. Let this word go forth to those who have ears to hear, that they will hear what thus says the Lord. Open up our hearts, our minds, and our souls, Lord God, to receive, to discern, and to feed on your word, Lord God. Thank you for your holy word that, Lord God, whatever we need in this lifetime, all we have to do is go to your Bible, open it up, Lord God, and you would guide us to wherever it is that we need your love and your compassion. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for waking us up this morning, clothed in our right mind, divine healing in our body. Thank you for watching over us last night while we slept and saw fit, Lord God, to wake us up this morning. You didn't have to do it, but Lord, we are so thankful that you did. Thank you for the beautiful trees, the sun that shines, and all that nature has to offer us, Lord God. Thank you for providing a roof over our head, for food on our table, clothes on our back. We thank you, Lord God. And we ask that you can bless our finances. We place our bills, our problems, and whatever that is holding us back, Lord God, we place all of that in your hands. Let your will be done in each and every one of our lives. And now, Lord God, as I come to bring this word to your people, I ask that you would move Hilda out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, for dying on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life, Lord God, through him. We thank you. We love you. We praise and we glorify your name. Right now, Lord God, we give you the highest praise. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name, Lord God. And we ask all of these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. So as we read in Mark 1:1-8, which is the beginning of the gospel. And my title for this message is the suffering servant. Jesus, the suffering servant. Matthew begins his gospel by sharing the genealogy of Jesus. He feels the need to prove that Jesus is a son of Abraham and a son of David. Luke begins by talking about the events which lead up to the birth of the Lord Jesus. John's gospel starts out in eternity past, reminding us that Jesus is God in the flesh. Mark does not start out by talking about the Lord's heritage or his birth. Mark's desire is to present Jesus as a servant, and a servant does not need a genealogy. Mark begins by jumping right into the action. Mark's first sentence serves as a title to the book, and it serves to plunge us immediately into the earthly ministry of Jesus. Now, Mark is going to share with his readers, which is us, the good news concerning who Jesus is and what he did while he was here on earth. Mark calls the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, in Greek, the name Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew name Yahshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is a human name, and it reveals the reason Jesus came into this world. Jesus came into this world to save lost sinners like you and me. It says so in Matthew 1 and 21, Luke 19 and 10. The name Jesus declares his person. He called Christ. This identifies Jesus as the Jewish Messiah or the Anointed One. The name Christ declares his position. Jesus is pictured as the one who will deliver his people from their enemies. Amen. Then Mark raises the stakes. He calls Jesus the Son of God. Mark lets us know in very clear terms that he is writing about a man who is no ordinary man. He is writing about a man who is God in the flesh. John 1 and 1, where we just read, and John 14. The name Son of God declares his power. So this title declares truth regarding Jesus. Number one, he is truly human. He has a human name, Jesus. Number two, he is truly divine. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Son of God. Number three, he is truly unique. He is both humanity and deity in one person. And number four, he is the true source of good news. Jesus alone is the source of salvation. Now, we have Mark's introduction of the book that bears his name. So let's begin the process of moving through these verses. We will consider the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, as Mark writes about the man who was sent to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are going to take a few moments to look at the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, in verses 2 and 3, John and his mandate. In ancient times, kings often sent people ahead of them to prepare the way for their coming. The forerunner had two primary duties. And his first duty was, he was to make certain the roads were passable. Amen? There were to be no delays when the king passed through. He was to have a clear, open route through the kingdom. And the second thing is, the forerunner was to let the people know that the king was coming. He was to go along the route before the king came through, and he was to tell the people to get ready for the king. Now, John the Baptist fulfilled both duties seen in the ancient forerunner. He came to this world with a divine mission. John was given a heavenly mandate, which he fulfilled while he was here. So now let's examine his mandate. In verses 2-3, also tells us that John was the fulfillment of two important Old Testament prophecies. Number one was Isaiah 40:3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Number two, Malachi 3:1 says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Also in verse 2, it involves preparation. Now, John cleared the way for the coming of the Lord by appearing directly to the people. The Jewish religious leaders had long ago forgotten the common man. John came preaching to the people, calling on them to repent because the Lord, the King, was coming to deliver his people. In verse 3, it involves proclamation. John was alone, voice against the dead legalism of the Jews. He was a hard preacher in a dark day, and God used him to touch a generation. Now, John the Baptist preached during a period when the Jewish religion had become nothing more than dead orthodoxy. Legalism and ritual ruled the day. The Jews were in desperate need of a spiritual revival. The Gentiles had given up on religion and viewed most religious beliefs as superstition and foolish tales. Both groups needed just what John, the truth. We today are living in similar days. Now, many churches have abandoned the great doctrines of the Bible to preach either a message rooted in humanism or legalism. People are either never challenged regarding their sins, or they are beaten down with the Word of God. There is a great need for men of God. Excuse me. There is a great need for men of God in our day who will stand up, open their Bibles, open their mouths, and preach the Word of God. Jesus is coming soon. Where are the forerunners who are preparing the way of the Lord and proclaiming his return? Preachers, our mandate is that same as the one John the Baptist received. We are to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4 and 2. Now in verses 4 through 5, John and his methods. Verse 4, John's preaching. John was a preacher. He came telling men of the need for repentance. His message was a message of confrontation. John came confronting sin and calling on people to repent. The word repentance means a change of mind that results in a change of action. The people had sinned, and John called on them to change their minds regarding sin. Now, John was calling on them to clean up their lives in preparation for the advent of Jesus. He was saying, the Lord is coming. The Savior is coming. You need to straighten out your crooked hearts. You need to get the way into your heart. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Now, John's message was also a message of change. John told the people that their repentance would result in the remission of sins. The word remission means forgiveness or pardon of sins as though they had never happened. John told the people that their repentance would result in God's forgiveness. Amen? So that is the message we need in our world today. Now, where are the preachers who are preaching about repentance and remission of sin? Most preachers are too busy stroking people's egos and tickling their ears. They are too busy building their crowns and their own religious empires. We need men of God in this day that will lift up their voices and thunder out against sin. We need men who will not allow position, prestige, prosperity, or popularity stand between them and the proclamation of the truth. We need preachers who will tell people the truth. I know how hard it is to preach the truth to the people who determine what kind of house you can buy or what kind of car you can drive. But they must be told the truth. People need to know that the only way to heaven is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you will get to heaven, is through Jesus. People need to know that sin kills. People need to know that there is a real hell to shun and a real heaven to gain. People need to know that God still looks for repentant hearts and changed lives. People need the truth. Not everyone wants to be lured to sleep by the weak, anemic preaching of this day. Some people still want to hear the truth. Some people still want to be confronted by the facts of the word. Those people want to be fed. The rest, those who do not want to hear the truth, need to be confronted. There are plenty of people out there who will not hear the truth. The Bible tells us that it will be this way in the end times. And right now, my brothers and sisters, we are living in the end times. And if you don't believe it, read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. The need for a prophet of God like John the Baptist has never been greater than it is right now. Pray for the men who still carry the mail for the glory of God. Verse 4 also tells us John's practice. John did something else that was unusual in his day. He baptized Jews. People in that part of the world have been practicing baptism for a long time. When a Gentile became a Jewish convert, that person would baptize themselves as a symbol of their changed life. Baptism was not new. The way John used it was. John did not baptize people to make them right with God. The phrase, preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, does not mean that people were being baptized to have their sins forgiven. They were being baptized because their sins had been forgiven. They went to John and were immersed into the River Jordan to declare publicly that their sins had been changed by the power of God. They were baptized to give glory to the God who had forgiven their sins and made them whole. In other words, this baptism was about a change of life. And that is still what baptism represents today. People are not baptized to be saved. They are baptized because they have been saved. Baptism is a picture of a person dying to the old life of sin and rising again to a new life of holiness. Amen? And by the way, everyone who comes to Jesus and is saved by his grace will be a new creature. You can read that in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. They will live a new life, a new kind of life. They will have new desires. They will be different. Jesus changes every life he touches. Verse 5 tells us John's power. We are told that many of the people living in that region came to John the Baptist to be baptized. These people made a break with their past and were changed by the power of God. Someone has estimated that as many as 300,000 people may have been baptized by John and his disciples. Praise be to God. So here's the point. These people traveled some 20 miles on foot. Because back in those days, they didn't have cars and horses and wagons and all of that. Everywhere they had to go, they walked. When they arrived where John was, he treated them like they were Gentiles. And he's talking about the Jews. It must have shaken them to their core, just knowing that they have walked so many miles to come to be baptized by John the Baptist. So here was this preacher telling them that they were no better than the Gentiles. Now, when they were confronted with their sins, they saw their sins and they repented. When they did, God forgave them. So John preached the word of God, and God honored his word. People responded to the preaching of the Baptist, and they came to him confessing their sins and turning from their sinful lifestyle. Of course, not everyone was happy with John's ministry. The Pharisees, the Sadducees came to see what the fuss was all about. They came to criticize John and his message. When he saw them coming, he rebuked them for their hypocrisy, called on them to repent also. You'll find that in Matthew 3, 7 through 10. They refused John's plea and continued on in their sins. We are living in hard times spiritually. There is a trend towards seeker-friendly, feel-good religion, preachers who call sin what it is and who call for people to repent are getting fewer by the day. But we are still operating in a time when God will bless his word. If his word is preached as it is written, God will honor that word, Isaiah 55 and 11. People still need to be told they are sinners. People still need to be confronted with the need for genuine repentance. People still need to be shaken from time to time. We all need a call and a wake up. So don't despair. So don't despair if Calvary Baptist isn't like the church down the road. Don't worry. When they call us old-fashioned and out of step, let them make fun of our preaching, our singing, our shouting, and our worship. God still meets with us, and that is all that really matters. Every now and then, we will pass by and bring with him the fragrance. Every now and then he will pass by and bring with him the fragrance of glory. Every now and then he will speak to some lost soul, and they will come to Jesus and be saved. Every so often, he will call some wayward saint of God home to Jesus. He is still working. He is still honoring his word. Therefore, we need to stay the course and carry on for his glory until he comes. In verse 6 tells us John about John and his manner, his fashion. John did not wear the fine robes that adorned the bodies of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He did not gravitate toward the finer things in life. His clothing was as rough as his message. He was a man of the desert, and he dressed like a man of the desert. He was out of step in his fashion sense. And his food? He shunned the fine foods of the palace and favored the foods of the desert dwellers. He got his honey out of the rocks and lived on such things as he could trust the Lord to provide. He was a common man who did not seek after the allurements and attractions of this world. And by the way, his diet was balanced. Locusts are proteins, and honey is carbohydrates. John was a balanced man who was satisfied with the basis of life. John's manners was as unusual as his message. John the Baptist was an odd man, even in his own day. Imagine how this man must have appeared to the people who saw him. He was a Nazarite in Luke 1 and 15. That means that his hair and his beard had never been trimmed. Nazarites often carried their beards in sacks around their waist to avoid stepping on it. Their hair was braided into 7 braids and hung down their backs, touching the ground. How would we react if John came to preach in our church? He stepped out of the wilderness dressed in the rough garments of a prophet. He came to the people of Israel with the same spirit of confrontation that dwelled in Elijah 800 years earlier. He came preaching with power. In fact, John was so unusual that he was never invited to preach in the temple and synagogues. They had no use for a man like him. They did not want to be confronted. They did not want their little apple cart to be upset. They had it made. They had it made. And they did not want some weirdo to destroy the little religious empire they had constructed. John came with a strange appearance. He came with a strong message. He was out of step with his time. But God was with him. God used John the Baptist in an amazing way to carry out a powerful ministry. If John teaches us anything today, He teaches us the truth that we do not have to fit in with this world. He teaches us that it is all right to be different. We can dress different. We can talk different. And we can live different. And it does not mean that we are weird. It simply means that we have a desire to walk with the Lord and honor him. Amen. It's all right if you don't live as the world lives. It's all right if you do not do the things the world does. It's all right if you don't drink, cuss, do drugs, or run wild. It is all right if you go to your marriage bed a virgin. It is all right if you go to church 3 times or more a week, pay your tithes, go to Sunday school, and live like a saint. It is all right if you shout, pray, and witness. It is all right to be different if Jesus has made you different. And if he has saved your soul, he has done just that. John 3:3-7. We should never allow this world to force us into its mold. Romans 12:1-2. We should yield ourselves to the Lord. Separate from this world. 2 Corinthians 6:17. And allow him to mold us into his image. Never be ashamed of who you are. And never be ashamed of who you are not. Amen. In verses 7-8, John and his message. Now these verses gives us the content of John's message. He did not preach to build up his name and his reputation. John preached to point people to another. He preached to point men to Jesus. These verses tells us what John the Baptist message was all about. In verse 7, the message of a humble servant. John the Baptist was a bold preacher. He thundered out against sin and called for people to repent. But when he began to talk about Jesus Christ, John became a very humble preacher. He tells the people who heard him preach that compared to Jesus, he was a nobody. He tells them that he isn't even worthy to do the job of the lowest household slave. John says, "I am nothing." But he is everything. John says, "I did not come to call people to me. I came to point people to him." That is a humility that is lacking in these days. Amen. This highlights one of the reasons people refuse to deal with their sins. People often compare themselves to the wrong standard. If you look around, you can always find someone who lives worse than you do. You can hold them up and say, "See, compared to this person, I don't look too bad." That may be true, but if you honestly compare your life to Jesus Christ, you would see how bad you really are. The people were flocking to John. He had the ear of the nation. He had the people eating out of his hand. But when John saw Jesus, John saw how needy John was. When John saw Jesus, he saw that John was nothing and Jesus was everything. And that is why John was willing to step aside so that Jesus might shine. John 3:11-3:30. And that was John's purpose when he was born, was to prepare the way for Jesus to come. So that is why John magnified Jesus. He knew that if people could see Jesus, they would see themselves as they really are. If they saw themselves as they really were, they would see their need of Jesus. They would want him to be their Savior and Lord. So John pointed men to Jesus. That was his purpose in life. That's the message people need in this day. If people could ever see Jesus, whether they were saved or lost, they would have a desire to humble themselves before him. They would willingly bow to him in salvation, surrender, and service. Verse 8 tells us about the message of a holy Savior. John also told them that when Jesus came, he would do a spiritual work in their heart. You see, John was using a material element, water, their bodies. Jesus would use a spiritual element, which is the Holy Spirit, to baptize their souls. John was taking them and placing them under the water in a symbol of their repentance. Jesus would take them and he would wash their sins away in his blood, and he would give them a new life. Hallelujah to the Lord Jesus. John was not calling people to religion. They had enough of that. John the Baptist was pointing people to a Savior who could save their souls, forgive their sins, and change their lives. And by that way, Jesus can still do those things. All those who come to him by faith will be saved, changed, and forgiven. And it is as easy as calling on him by faith. Acts 16:31, Romans 10:9-13. And as I bring this message to a close, the message John the Baptist preached was an unusual message. He did not preach to gain the favor of men. He did not preach to grow a great ministry. He did not preach to attract the crowd. He preached a simple message about a wonderful Savior named Jesus. He preached a simple message about the need for people to deal honestly with their sins. He preached a message that those people needed to hear, and he preached a message that we need to hear as well. Has the Lord spoken to you through this message? Do you sense the need to come to Jesus to be saved? If so, you can, if you will come to him and repent of your sins and call on him by faith. He will save your soul, forgive your sins, and change your life. Maybe you have walked away from the Lord and are not as close to him as you once were. You can come home. God allows second chances. Amen. I prayed second chances. And maybe you have become self-conscious about the way you have been taught. Or maybe you are hearing the siren call of the modern churches calling you away from the old path. If you need to come and get some things settled with God, you can do that. Whatever the needs may be today, they can and will be met by the Lord Jesus. If you will bring them to him, he will forgive you of your sins. Amen. I hope that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer of salvation after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And if you have said that prayer and believe that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and lead you to a good Bible teaching church to further your Christian walk. Amen. And tonight my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our service for this evening. So I just want to say God bless you and thank you, each and every one of you who are listening to Pray One for Another on Facebook, YouTube, live stream, wherever you are listening to Pray One for Another. May God always bless you and continue showing up and coming back to hear what thus says the Lord. Amen. So tomorrow we will be on at 6 p.m. If you want, you can join us tomorrow at 6 with our Sweet Hour Prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy DuBose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bring us a mighty word from the Lord. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us mightily with what thus says the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. We love you guys. And good night and shalom.